I'm at Senrise in mathematics, and I belong to a meteorology laboratory at Senrise, INSMI, Institut National des Sciences Mathématiques et de leurs interactions. That's where I am, who is paying my salary. And I'm also at ENS, École Normale Supérieure in Paris, in a laboratory of meteorology. And my specialty is turbulence. Okay, but now I'm going to tell you things related to publication, because of course we publish and we want the system to change. Why? Because, you know, I'm old enough to have started my career as someone who was sending paper handwritten with equations like that to the publisher. Typically, let's take an example like Les Comptes Rendus de l'Académie des Sciences. The publisher was a great company called Gauthier Villars. I was bringing a 5-page paper handwritten, even typed sometimes, but the equations were handwritten. And the compte rendu maximum is 4 pages. And au marbre, that means really by choosing the lead character, it was shrinking into 4 pages, things like that. This exists. I mean, in my lifetime, I did that. It was great, and that lasts from, 15th century up to millennium, I mean, 21st century. But now, game is over. Now we are electronic publishing. And what is very important is to realize that electronic publishing has nothing to do with printing industry. That's my view. But the publisher, of course, they want to keep their business alive, and they just keep the business model of printing industry, but for electronic publishing. And of course, not open edition. I'm talking about the big major companies who are controlling the system. And because a few major companies control the publishing and own, the very danger we have to face today is that both the papers, the articles, are owned by the publisher, because we are obliged as scientists to give the copyright to the publisher when our paper has been accepted after peer reviewing. And they also own the journals. Though we are stuck, we cannot move. The journal legally belong to them, so what to do? And I have a question to the room. Do you know when you sign, who has already signed some copyright transfer form? Okay, though for how many years you give away everything? Everything, the text, the figures, and the plot, the image, everything in your paper, plus any additional material you put on the website of the publisher, your source code and data, for how many years?
20. Huh? 20. Mm-hmm. Or in the future?
Yeah.
Oh. Forever?
Not forever, no. 100 years. Legally, it's 70 years after the death of the last author to die. So there is more than 100 years.
Stop publishing with PhD students.
Yeah, that just means 100 years of research, which is just privatized. So investments are public, benefits are private. That's the system today. And they've been very smart. Exactly, we are back to the 15th century. I mean, knowledge is in manuscripts that monks are written, handwritten, and things like that. But of course, there is this new technology which is the printed press of Gutenberg. Then the lobbying group of the monastery, they go to Brussels and say, we want a monopoly because you are not going to let the forgeron, the blacksmith like Gutenberg to control knowledge. And only us, we can control knowledge because we are the guys. We have done that forever. And then, of course, they get this special monopoly, let's say. And, of course, they use the printing, but they just print a book a year. Something like that. It's exactly what is going on today. They just want to take the benefit of the technique and the reduced cost, but they want to keep the business. And the business model is very dangerous, because what is the situation today? Only researchers, working in institutions which are all where, oh yeah, let's make that.
It's the front, yeah.
Oh yes, it's tiny. I was looking for it. Only researchers working in institutions are rich enough, or country rich enough, can afford the publication, the subscription. And the amount of money, which is, it's absolutely scandalous. When your university has to subscribe to journals, gigantic. I can give details in private if you want. But in addition, researchers working in private companies, they can't because they cannot afford paying the subscription, retirement, people, students, teachers. There is all those taxpayers who has financed our research cannot access to the result they have paid for. So this is the main idea behind the open access movement. And but then, of course, publishers have been smart enough because they have understood before us this revolution of electronic publishing. Though just on time, few of them, they have just bought the main, the most important, renowned journals. Okay, so today they want to benefit from the digital revolution and the web, but keep the business model designed for printing on paper. And as a result, they have an oligopolistic position that I'm going to just give you this figure just to get order of magnitude in mind. The main major publishers are typically Elsevier, then Springer Nature, Wiley Blackwater, and Francis. They are kind of multinational or binational, English and Dutch. Springer Dutch. Well, this one is so special. It's actually owned by a German family. Not even okay. Then this is British and American, and this is British. Okay. Let's take the case of Reed Elsevier Group. They have their turnover, chiffre d'affaires in French, 8.4 billion, you see. And let's take CNRS. So CNRS produce research, do the paper, do the peer reviewing, and the overall budget is 3.3 billion. So you see, we are not playing on the same ground. And that's where is the problem. I like this paper, I recommend it to everyone, Vincent Larivière, The Oligopoly of Academic Publishers, on PLOS One. Typically, Elsevier, that's the case of Elsevier for all the technical, scientific, and medical journals, the profit margin is 40%. Do you have an idea, like Google, what is the profit margin of Google? 20%. Apple, 20%. There is really a problem there. Okay, another problem. I like this map. I really advise you to go to this worldmapper.org. It's worked for many other things, but in case of publishing, here you just draw. It's the number of research articles published in 2016. Renormalized, that means divided by the number of inhabitants of the country, and that gives you the area of the country. Okay, so like that, you can see it's total. America, they publish a little bit, but it's balanced by the number of inhabitants. Well, typically, now, I have the previous one, 3-4 years before, it's fine, but China was not as big. Not China got really large. Japan was always big. France is very big. What does it mean? It means that we publish a lot per inhabitant. So, if we let the gold open access model that has been mentioned this morning, where the author has to pay to publish. Okay, I explain. Open access means the reader don't pay. It's just, you just download the paper and don't pay. But the business model for those big publishers who want to keep that 40% profit, well, what do we do? Simple, we are going to ask the author to pay. And that's gold open access model, and paying, it's called article processing charge or article publication charge, and the order of magnitude is between 1,000 and 3,000, up to 5,000 sometimes, euro, let's say dollar. So let's take a country like France, where we publish a lot, in fact, and especially CNRS. An institution like CNRS is just going to bankrupt. We cannot afford that model, as simple as that. Or, which might be a good idea too, we should tell scientists, okay, you have the right for one paper a year. That could be another option. But somewhere, we cannot let this gold open access model go, and because it's not sustainable, as long as we let the publisher decide how much we have to pay them to have the right to publish. Though in 2012, Tim Gowers and a group of mathematicians around him, and I'm one of them, we called for boycotting Elsevier because we had evidence, we knew that Elsevier has been lobbying the American Congress for this so-called Research Act, which was a bill where they would get more control of open access. I don't get into detail there. And we say, we denounce the fact that the cost was absolutely exorbitant, I mean, crazy. The amount of money we have to give to publisher, and also they were supporting this Research Work Act. Out of the boycott, I don't get into detail, but we stopped the Research Work Act. And then we have to propose alternative model. We don't want the gold, but what to do. Though we, among our group, we had exchanged a lot of discussions by mail, and we went to this model that we call the Diamond Open Access model. And I'm going to show you the details of what is behind the scene. And we choose this name. Actually, I choose this name, so the truth is. That's because I like this Diamond Sutra, which is in the British Library. This is the oldest dated printed document, I mean, and it's back to 868. And Tim told us, oh, it's great that you call it Diamond, because it was just in May 2012 when it was a Diamond Jubilee of the Queen. Aha. So that's what we like Diamond. Okay? And by June, there was the, you know, we had a new president, and one night I got a phone call late at night from by someone of the ministry. We were a little bit panicked because the new research minister, Geneviève Chiorazzo, she was going to meet her German minister equivalent, Annette Chavan, and there was open access on the agenda, and they didn't know what to do. Though I wrote a note there, in which I explained to them, neither author nor readers would have to pay to publish, and a journal should not belong to its publisher, but to its editorial board, who is doing the valuable job of peer reviewing. It's a responsibility of the editorial board. So the editorial board should have control of the journal, and having control means also kind of ownership, or at least legally, you are in charge of that, not the publisher. Publisher is just a printer. Or you should not be owning all the journal and assets. The publishing of peer-reviewed articles should be done using public infrastructure from where articles are accessible online for free. So I was insisting a lot that what we need infrastructure. We don't want money, because if we want money, then the publisher knows we have money, and they will ask us to pay article processing charge. We want infrastructure, exactly like a computer center, or like a telescope, or like a satellite, or like, I mean, research, we need infrastructure. This is just one of the infrastructure we badly need, a publishing platform. Okay, though I detail a little bit, the main point that now, author keeps their copyright. If people here are publishing, try not to give your copyright. Just do your best. Of course, they will refuse. That's the problem. But try it, at least. And tell them that it's now illegal, in a certain sense. Because the recommendation by the funding agency is that you don't give the copyright away. And what you do, instead of, you keep your copyright, but you put your paper under CC BY, like a Creative Commons license, which allows anyone to publish your paper, to publish derivative like translation. People do what they want with your paper under the only condition they can make money with it. Of course, a publisher wants to make money, but he's not owning your paper. That's the point. He can make money with it, but it will be also free online. And but the main things with this Creative Commons CC BY, there is a condition that you have to be cited the author. It's very important for science that we can go back to who has written this paper. That's the only condition we have to complain for. Second point, very important. Editors of peer-reviewed journal collectively own the title of the journal and the assets, since they are in charge of peer-reviewing, which is the main input, intellectual input to the to what a good journal should be. Good journal, for me, means good peer-reviewing process. And people were mentioning this morning great journals. I was going to ask, what do you mean by great journals? For me, a great journal, I mean a good journal, is a very limited domain of expertise, because, you know, research, as you all know here, we are over-specialized. Therefore, my paper, I want it judged by the people who know exactly the topic, who can find an error in the paper. This is the goal of the peer review. The goal is not to say it's a good or bad paper. It's say, are there errors? Can we rely on the content of this paper to build another research? That's, for me, the priority in the peer review process. Okay? And, of course, as a result, editors and referees of journals should be peer. That means scientists in activity, specialists of this field, of the field of that specialized journal. You could have many other journals, Nature, Science, PNAS, PRL, all those, I keep them in business. But they are not peer-reviewed. They are just journals which are, I mean, the good things with editors, let's say, of Nature, but they are at least, well, they are young people with a PhD, roughly speaking, but they are not scientists in activity. At least they can read the paper. Though their role is to say, oh, here there is a new thing, quite interesting, which deserve to be advertised for. So it's a tool for advertisement, for very scientific, I don't know how you say in English. And we need them. We need even more of them. But now they have a business. It's a great business to develop. Just they're not going to do 40% profit. They will have to. It's a normal journal, a news. Okay, the publisher no more own the peer-reviewed journal, but become service provider to the editors of the journal. This is a very important point. And like, for instance, when we start the boycott, I can tell you of myself, we start the boycott of Elsevier, and, I mean, by kind of chance, I'm editor in a journal we founded in 1992. Actually, it was decided in Marseille, in CIRM. You have to know how a journal is made. It could be very disgusting. So in Marseille, there is a new branch of mathematics which has been started and discovered in Marseille, which are Reddit. So we had a small meeting at CIRM in 1992, where a guy that we didn't know just came to our meeting and just during over lunch discussed with us, saying, oh, I'm going to create a journal on wavelets. I'm signed by Academic Press to create a new journal about wavelets. We cannot laugh to him. He said, we don't need a new journal. We don't want to be a sect. It's not a new religion. We have enough journal in mathematics. We don't agree. But then we understood that he will do it even without our consent. And then we got stuck. We say, oh, at this stage, we are obliged to accept to be part of the editorial board, what we did. But that was with Academic Press. And this man is named Charles Tree. He's still main chief editor of the journal. By year 2000, well, his wife was the secretary of the journal, blah, 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 blah. And with Academic Press. At those years, you see, people like me, we are absolutely not conscious of the system, no idea of how it works. And I never had any contract, so by 92, we start doing peer reviewing, we start working, blah, blah, blah. By year 2000, Elsevier bought all Academic Press journals. Okay, then we keep going, we have no idea of the system. By 2002, I start to be conscious of the system because in 2008, I was a nominated member of the Ethics Committee of CNRS. And I had to deal with a problem with someone involved in sales here. That's how I just discovered the content of the box, and wow, that's the way they behave when they negotiate subscription with librarians. And then, of course, you are disgusted. Okay, we stop working for you. And that was more or less one of the ideas behind the scene. But then you are stuck. You have the journal you have created, but the title belongs to Elsevier. What do we do? And those years in 2012, where to go? What alternative system we have if we want to resign? Of course, Elsevier will keep this journal. We create a new journal. We don't have the title. We have to create a new journal. But we are stuck. I am myself on strike since then. They asked me many times to resign. I told Then, sorry, show me the contract. Where is the contract? There is no contract. And, okay, I'm not going to resign. You have to resign me. But, of course, if you resign me, I take a lawyer and I try to... that's the only language a publisher understands today. They are a business. Okay. And please... Okay, thank you. Though, I keep going. Though, we need those public platforms. Typically, they exist for humanities and social science. Actually, in 2012, when I wanted, we find a new publisher for, we wanted to get rid of Elsevier, I went to see Marin, asked for revue.org if they could take us. But our community, mathematics, we publish in LaTeX. You know LaTeX here, you see? And revue.org is for social science and humanities, and it's not yet compatible with LaTeX. Well, that's why we are still kind of... Now we start to have another solution. I'm going to show them very soon. Okay, though, this is a very important thing by having this platform, exactly like revue.org, which are publicly owned, publicly founded, and whose software is open source, very important. Your platform is in Lodel. I'm going to show you two platforms which are also open source. Why? Because if it's not open source, and if you are successful, a big guy like Elsevier or Springer will buy you one day or the other. They have bought a lot of things. Okay. Though the good thing also, by having the platform, for the first time, there is a kind of positive feedback, exactly like Sandra explained you, that when a journal applies to get free publishing, paid out as a service, already paid by the funding agencies, then you have to write a proposal and explain how you proceed for peer reviewing. So this is the first time you can check the quality of the process of peer reviewing. Like how many reports you ask, who are the members of the editorial board, are they really working? Because in many journals I know, especially the one I'm a member of the board, I'm on strike since more than 7 years, and there is plenty of names on the editorial board which are completely fake, because they don't work, it's just for the name. There is absolutely... I like what you mentioned this morning about idiosyncratic. I never had any advice how to proceed for peer reviewing. There is... It's kind of wild. Okay, though, let's keep going. Though, just for the transition, I consider today... Though, now look at the strategy of publisher. The strategy of publisher, they want gold open access, because they will control the cost of APCs and they will maintain their profit thanks to this control. Another reason for why we want to make the platform public, we will also like that by running the platform, check how much it costs. Revue.org has a budget and we can say, here is the cost per article, here is the cost per journal. For the first time, we can control what is the cost. And that's another important issue to have in mind. And though they want to impose that, but now we have this very important transition from printing to electronic publishing. Therefore, a lot of possible models are not yet tried. And there is this idea that we should try many models and see which one will be the best. So the strategy of the publisher is to impose us the goal in order we cannot do anything else. Like they will, like Ford has bought all tram in Los Angeles to impose the car and motorway. Just an example like that. Okay, though, what I propose, and it's written in different reports I've written, you can find on this website, that the transition, actually, we should keep it as smooth as possible. Why? Because something we consider important is the academic freedom. And we have actually good journals with good peer reviewing process, good editorial board, we should maintain activity. And if the subscription model is the only one to maintain them right away, let's keep it. But then, the practice, and this is what we do in mathematics or physics, the day before I send a paper to peer reviewing, to a journal, whatever the journal, let's say, beside Elsevier, which publishing, I put it on archive, which is our repository for my domain. You have now bioarchive if you are a biologist. And like that, your author version is yours. It has not yet even started the peer reviewing process. Because many publishers then consider the day it's under peer reviewing, everything belongs to them. So you put your author at this stage on the public, your author version. And like that, your paper actually is available. So, and even funding agencies, if they impose upon you that your paper should be open access, they agree for the green. This is just why I'm making a parenthesis here. If you know about Plan S, who knows about Plan S? Okay, Plan S is very dangerous because Plan S is killing the green. They really impose immediate, and they want the final version. So we have to be very careful about Plan S for that. It's a way to make sure gold and the green will have problem to survive that. Okay, and for me, the green, it's actually a platform for preprint. But technically, it's very close to a platform for publishing. It's more or less the same. You have papers. And what is difficult in electronic publishing is the fact that it's a visibility of your paper on the web, which means the metadata. And she's specialist of that, should be properly made. That means that publishing, electronic publishing, costs a lot of money, but very different by making sure information can be accessible, and you have also the long-term archiving. The fact that you guarantee that it will be permanent, whatever the change of format and that. There's a lot of technicalities there. And my own position is that we should retrain the librarians, but we should not, we should be very careful to save the position which we still have for librarians and retrain them to help us to do electronic publishing, because we will need them a lot. They are specialists of information, and we need that. Okay, now I'm going to show you two platforms. In short, how many minutes? Like 10?
You are at 28.
Okay, so that means I have 2 minutes. Well, I can go fast. Okay, so I'm going to show you two platforms. And this one is to boost green open access. It's to help scientists to deposit their paper. Though it's called DSEMing. It's created by a group of... the main developer is Antonin. He was student of computer science at École Normale. These three with him were also students those years when he started in 2015, and I was in the team. I pushed them for that. And so what does he do? You go to dsem.in, you put the name of any scientist, whatever the discipline, and first name, family name, and you push the button. The software is going to crawl more than 100 million articles, looking at crossref, looking at base, and then build the list of all paper he found. You know, each paper, when it's electronic, you have a DOI, you know, digital object identifier, and the databases related to DOI, which are actually the metadata of all electronic paper, in principle, is crossref. And what does it mean? Metadata just means the title of your paper, the name of the author, their institution, and the abstract, roughly speaking. Okay? So all that is open. Because a DOE, publisher has designed that in order to be able to go from one paper to the other like that. But the database itself is open. It's like the telephone book is open, you see. Okay, so we crawl that and we list all papers. And then we have different sorting between papers which are already in open access and papers which are not. And we say either they are green, that means it's on the repository, or they are yellow, I mean gold, and it's on the publisher platform. But what is more important to us is to give information to the, for instance, an author, how many of his papers are not yet in open access. And then we crawl another platform, which is called Sherpa Romeo, which gives a policy of any publisher, telling you when you have the right and to put a version, and which version you have to put open. You know, there is this embargo, and it varies a lot from publisher to publisher. Though, the tool we propose you, I'll go to the next slide, tell you, guarantee you, that, for instance, these three papers are not yet in open access, but I have the right to put it right away in open access. Typically, all, you know, there are physical review and those papers. Physical review, it's the American Physical Society, allowed people to put the published version right away on the date of publication in open access. Though I have this right, and now it gives you this button, which is an upload button, though you prepare the PDF of your paper and ready to put it on the in open. Okay, though this is the example. Though here for the first time you have to log to the platform. Why? Because we want to check who has deposited the paper. One of the problems I have myself with HAL, a lot of people I don't know have put many of my papers in HAL with the wrong, with many mistakes and things like that. It's very important that only the scientist, it's me who has the legal responsibility. It's me who have given away my copyright. And if it's me who is going to take the responsibility and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, I'm always putting systematically the published version, which is even illegal, but at least my name is recorded. I know it's me who has done that. So I take the responsibility, but we don't take any data on the person. We just check it's one of the author of the paper. We only want author to deposit. Okay? Then here, it's tell you which version you have to deposit. You are allowed to deposit. And I myself always use the published version. Then you have to choose which platform. We propose three. You know HAL, certainly. And the good thing with Dissemin, if you go through the Dissemin interface to deposit in HAL, since we have already crawled the metadata, you don't have to fill again the name of all the information. Though in one click, the only thing you have to HAL ask us, we cannot tell them that they want that you choose the discipline of your paper. I consider that a little bit ridiculous because quite often paper is indifferent, like biology and math or something like that. But anyway, so in two clicks, if you go to HAL, you have two clicks to deposit your paper. But also, you know that HAL is doing some, taking several days to check actually that version you are depositing is legal, blah, blah, blah. This is why I'm myself using Zenodo. So Zenodo is a platform of the OpenAIR, which is a network of all networks. It's a European network which gathers all the different national networks. Who doesn't know OpenAIR? Okay. So OpenAIR is financed by the European Commission, and the platform Zenodo, it's at CERN, physically at CERN, so you have all the server of CERN, I mean, and it's extremely professional. And the good thing with Zenodo also, all the platform is written in Venio, which is an open source. And you can deposit source, you can deposit data, you can deposit your paper. So I really advise Zenodo. So I put the published version in Zenodo, and it's right away. Also, and you see, you have also COS, Open Science Framework as interface. So you have these three choices to deposit. And because I deposit in Zenodo right away, the paper is open access. And then you can download it immediately. Okay, here is the paper. The good thing, because all the source of Dissemin is written in mostly Python, but also CSS, HTML, and JavaScript. And all the source is on GitHub. Now, the good thing that it's open, anyone can take it. For instance, the nine largest technical universities of Germany are using Dissemin to do their own platform. I mean, and the other good thing, when it's open source, then we can ask people to help us. You see, please come and help us if you have a problem in Python. For instance, Ryan, when he joined us, he was a student in ECE. He was 14 or 15 years old, you see, and he was very good in Python. Okay, now I'm telling you about a second platform. Yeah, another very important thing, to do the platform yourself, you know also the budget. This means we work with about 500 euro budget per year. Of course, we don't pay people because I'm already paid by Semrest. They are now, the young students you saw, now they have position. They are making conference, and as you imagine, they are very well. Actually, Antonin is not yet paid. We have a contract with Cupra, which pay us a huge amount of money just to do this interface for Al. But we have money to pay Antonin to develop. He's doing his PhD also. But when we develop, we have some budget for him. And the cost of this 500 euro is only to run the server and to pay for the domain name descend.in. Of course, we are non-for-profit. But the essential things about non-for-profit is that if the software is open source, you have no intellectual property. It cannot be sold. Maybe someone can buy it, but it has... Someone else will do it for free, but it doesn't make much sense. This is why I insist on that. This other service, which is very new, created last year, it's a platform for publishing. Exactly, very similar to Revue.org and or Open Edition, but just it's very new. So it's financed by CNRS, by the Cellule MadDoc, which is financed by the Mathematics Institute of CNRS and also Université Grenoble-Alpes. And it's made to publish papers which are already in LaTeX. The author submits the paper in LaTeX. And we are selecting journals. Now we are about 15 journals, but we start, you see, we begin. And our scientific committee, a member of scientific committee, we assess the demand. Now we have two in the backlog that we are just peer reviewing the proposal, if you want. And the main goal is non-for-profit and public service. This is very important. Transparency of the selection journal. It's very important to have rules and apply the rules and show that it's transparent. Then, when we choose which journal to accept it, yes or no, it's the peer reviewing process is very important. We really check if the members of the editor board are well known in their community and if it's not just kind of a fake new journal. It's not going to be a predatory journal because you don't have to pay APC, but if the journal is not good quality, it's predatory in the sense that no one should waste the time peering for them. Okay. And then this long-term archiving is essential. It's very crucial, and I don't know how you solve it, but somewhere it's true for any electronic publishing. You have to be very careful for the long-term conservation. And of course, transparency of cost. Then we know how much it costs. Maybe we are going to fail. Maybe we are going to find, wow, it's so expensive. And then we are going to go back to the publisher, please. I don't. Okay, the conclusion. Though, as I said, investments are public, but profits are private, as you see. And though publishers should become service providers to this publicly funded platform. It's like a computer center. IBM is not a business, but it's not only a public computer center. Of course, they try with the cloud. Be careful about that. But today, we are just buying computers or software from, let's say, IBM, but they are not owning the computer center. This is what we want. Okay, and though I think the thing we have to be careful also is which has to be improved. We have to, as a community, publishing is essential for the development and the preservation of knowledge and research. Therefore, we have to be very, I think, careful also to make sure that the rule of the games are not changing to a point where we cannot do good quality research. This is why all these intellectual property laws, which are under discussion, we have to keep an eye open. It could be the worst or the best for us. You see, I don't have time to explain that now, but it's important. And to me, the good legal system to develop, but which yet doesn't exist, we should develop this notion of knowledge as a commons. And that's my final slide. This is, who knows this lady? Good, great. Okay, she's the only woman Nobel science winner. And she got a Nobel Prize for her analysis of economics governance, especially the commons, showing how common resources can be managed successfully by the people who use them rather than by government or private companies. We are scientists, we need those tools. Publication is essential to our job. Okay.